Good morning. It is September 3rd, 2015, and you have tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show with Jack and Diane sitting across from me today, stepping in for the for Jim Healy, coming in out of Clark Fork, Diane. It is a sort of a chilly morning right now with a little bit of rain already this morning in Sandpoint. Not too much. Coming up today, we do have a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 a.m., but then it will clear up with a high near 64. Calm wind becoming south 5 to 7 miles an hour in the morning. Shouldn't be quite as gusty as we had it yesterday. Tonight, it does look like we might get a little bit of frost. It could get down to as low as 34 degrees. And then, unfortunately, a little patchy smoke after that. Or patchy smoke and then the patchy frost, I guess. The frost comes not till the very end. Tomorrow, patchy frost, the order reverses. We start with the patchy frost as we wake up, and then it could get a little bit smoky again tomorrow, unfortunately. There is a 30% chance of rain showers on Friday night. It looks like over the weekend, rain is going to be pretty likely to occur at some point. We've got a 60% chance of showers on Saturday, a slight chance of showers on Sunday, and then heading into Labor Day, the chances of showers continue. Highs in the 60s all weekend long. We won't see the 70s until sometime next week. It looks like that drier, slightly warmer weather is coming back, but this is a nice reprieve from smoke and fire.
It certainly is.
Yeah. How is it over there in Clark Fork? Is it still...
Everything is very quiet and you can't see any smoke.
That's good.
We like that.
Yeah, that's nice. I'll take the cooler, cloudy weather over the warm, smoky weather anytime.
I'll take not being in Clark Fork at night and being able to see flames. It's nice to not have that happen anymore.
That would be very nice, I imagine, yeah. How close were you guys to the fire?
About 3 miles as the crow flies.
Wow.
But it wasn't much inclined to move downhill, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess fire does, or heat rises, fire kind of moves up, right?
Theoretically.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I don't know how closely you've been following the progress out there, but do you feel, do they
very
have
closely?
It, yeah, no, I imagine, yeah. Do they have it kind of under control? I mean, with this
nothing
weather?
Nothing is growing.
Mm-hmm.
We should ask our guest because her husband is a fireman.
Well, that's a, what an interesting segue we've got there. Don, do you have anything to add? Not officially, of course, but, you know, what do you hear from your husband about the fires going on right now?
Well, he's very happy right now.
Yeah.
Very happy. Things have calmed down. Things look like they're under control, and he doesn't have to worry about the fire coming down and wiping out Clark Fork.
That is a relief. Don Schatz is the Clark Fork High School librarian, as well as the grant facilitator for P-TECH and Gear Up at Clark Fork High School.
That's correct.
And what does a high school librarian's life look like? What do you?
Not what you would think.
No,
definitely not. Libraries have changed, you know. So I do a lot of different things besides checking out books. I also monitor the online classes. So I, you know, they have their regular teachers as well, but I'm sort of the warden that keeps the kids on track. So we have our classes, and then for electives, students come in and take different classes through IDLA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there monitoring them too.
Nice. How big is the library staff at Clark Fork? Is it just...
Well, at the high school, it's just me.
Just you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's I am young enough that I remember taking computer classes like that, and we had teachers who would sort of kind of drop us off at the library and let the librarians watch us while we use the internet.
Mm-hmm.
and learned how to write emails and things like that back in the day. what portion of your life is still devoted to books then? Do kids still come in and check out books? Or is
they
that...
do. It's a much greater portion checking out fiction books. We have a lovely English teacher that requires book chats. So the kids are always checking out books, reading them, and then they give a informal book chat with the English teacher. Not as much on the nonfiction. The informational text that Common Core focuses on is mostly online, at least at Clark Fork High School right now. We need to improve our nonfiction area, so I'll be purchasing a fair share of books this year.
Oh, nice. But that's interesting. You've kind of seen it. I don't know how long you've been a librarian, but have you seen it, the research changes, go more and more online and away from in paper?
Yeah, Common Core is focusing a little bit more on the informational text. Which is both. It's both nonfiction books as well as online periodicals and things like that.
Well, I'd like to mention that, excuse me, Dawn worked for the public library in Clark Fork for 14 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So books and libraries are pretty familiar to her.
Yeah, this isn't a new career by any means.
No, I walked across the street.
And that was the other thing I was going to say is the public library is just across the street from the high school.
Oh.
So it's probably a little hard to tell what the kids are checking out from Dawn's viewpoint because they come across the street and get another handful of books.
Right.
Sure.
And we have such a great relationship. So what I don't have at the high school, I just call up Melissa or Sharon or Connie and say, can you put this on hold for one of my students? They'll be over at lunchtime to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice relationship.
Mm-hmm. You're wearing a sweatshirt right now, which listeners, if you listen closely, you might even hear the sweatshirt. But it says, I heart Gear Up.
Yes.
And I do not know what Gear Up is, actually.
Gear Up is a wonderful college access grant that Clark Fork High School has. It's part of our school district, yes, but we were the only ones who qualified for it. And this is our second grant, actually. We started one in 2006. So what it is a federal discretionary grant. So that means that money could be cut off at any time. So then states can apply. Most states have, all but maybe two. Idaho is one of them. And in order to qualify, you have to have over 50% free and reduced lunch count. Majority of our schools are rural, low-income areas. And I provide services to not only the students, but the parents and the teachers in the school. So it's an early intervention grant starting in seventh grade, moves as a cohort. So we go with the student. So if we start in seventh grade, I'm going to end up with these kids their freshman year in whatever post-secondary institution. So it could be at NIC, could be at U of I, it could be Carleton College in Minnesota, it could be anywhere.
So it doesn't have to be in the state.
The services that I provide, I'm following the student on that.
Oh, okay.
So I have to actually get permission from the student to communicate with them when they're in college.
No.
But during the school year, it's all services to the student, like college visits, financial planning, college searching, preparing for that transition.
Mm.
It's learning about all kinds of things. It's tutoring. It's rigorous coursework. It's advanced opportunities, taking dual credit classes. It's funding. It goes on and on and on.
And it's focused on getting a student out of high school and into some sort of post-secondary.
Yes, prepared for and into a post-secondary institution of some sort.
So what do you do in seventh grade?
Seventh grade is trying to light the fire underneath them, expose them to colleges, So we take seventh graders on college trips, on college visits, great, sometimes overnight.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's really lighting the fire. It's telling giving them a vision, because part of our barriers is that parents just don't have that expectation in our community. Mm-hmm. And we're working with to change that culture as well.
I see. So is this a... from the kids' perspective, is this a voluntary program? Do they have to sign up to be part of it, or do they?
No, it's in reverse. If you really don't want to be part of it, you'd have to sign something to not
to opt out.
Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. So if you're in seventh grade when we start, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so each time I go into the classroom or do something outside of class at an evening program or whatever, they're expected to come as a group.
Mm-hmm.
There is individual counseling as well, because that's how we treat them individually, and you know, everybody's plan is different. Mm-hmm. But it is a cohort group.
Now, so, there's some funding advantages to that too, is there not?
Yes, during the first grant, we had wonderful scholarships at the end. So in 2012, that was the beginning of the scholarships when they graduated, those students, and I was handing out $5,000 scholarships that are renewable for 4 years, if you can believe that.
Wow.
So that matched their Pell Grant. So the student applied for financial aid, and if they received Pell Grant money from the government, we matched it.
Wow.
Wow.
4 years, renewable.
That's very... That's very cool.
It is very cool. And I've been handing those out every year. And it's kind of nice. I'm the star.
Uh-huh.
I feel good.
And that's the portion of the money that you're handing out. That's not a loan, or is it?
No. No, they don't pay that back. That is free money that the Gear Up funding, which comes from the government, part of it goes to financing the program.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of it is put away for scholarship money.
That's so cool.
And then every year. And there was no way to really predict, you know, how much they were going to need. So actually, in the end, they had excess money left over in the scholarship area, which goes back to the federal government to put wherever they see fit, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you're starting with field trips and, I don't know.
Lots of field trips
go and expose these kids to... The idea of going to college.
Yeah. The idea of college, college life, from eating in the cafeteria to how your classes would be organized. You know, it's different from high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not every day. So we talk about time management, all the different pulls that you will have as a college student as far as clubs, social time, the services that would help.
Mm-hmm.
A student who is first generation, like a TRIO, for example, any kind of mentorship that would help that student who's not used to leaving home or being that far away from home. So we try, and we do try to make it fun in the beginning, because there are some times when I come into the classroom and we're going to work on the career information system and investigate careers that are... They dread it. They cry and say, "Please, no."
Is it is this a well received program in the Clark Fork area, like with the parents and the students for that matter too?
Yes, I think so, but it's still one of the best kept secrets. Unfortunately, I mean, there are a few other northern schools that have it. Priest River has it. Bonner's Ferry, Kellogg, Lakeside, all have it. We're kind of a little group of five that work together.
Mm-hmm.
And then down south, there's
kind of rural schools.
Another 20. Mm-hmm. So 25 schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like 6,000 students.
Hmm.
6,000 total. My group may be very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I only have, I think, about 26, 28 students in my group.
Hmm.
So it's in seventh grade, you talk about colleges and like you say, light the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, if I had a seventh grader, then what happens next? Kind of walk us through the program.
Well, in seventh grade, you're exposing both the student and the parent to how the process works. Why go? The big why. Why should my student go on? So you're giving them all the stats. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's boring, but you mm-hmm. need to know that you're going to make more money if you graduate from a four-year college or two-year, anything post-secondary. Yeah. And you're going to do much better in an economic crisis. So you're going to have more opportunities, which is why I went. I couldn't possibly just have one single opportunity. I needed a lot more than that. So we walk them through the very basics, and that includes a lot of the financial literacy, a lot of the terms, mm-hmm. a lot of knowing how to go, what's available, demystifying some of the things that say, for example, one of the big ones is only smart students can go, or only smart students can get scholarships. And you guys know that there's a host of scholarships just based on financial need mm-hmm. or community service or leadership or first generation students, which is a lot of my students.
Mm-hmm.
So we also focus on making sure your junior high counts. It's not just a waste of time. It's just, you're mm-hmm. not just going through the motions. This is where it starts. You kind of have to value education,
mm-hmm.
value it then, and then when you transition to ninth grade and those grades count,
mm-hmm.
Then you're already on a pathway of what is a priority,
mm-hmm.
education or social life, or you know what I mean?
Does it kind of, to use the title, does it gear up as you get into high school? Does it become a more involved process, like once you hit ninth grade,
changes.
Yeah,
The different programs change. The different type of activities. So you're always involving parents at night, and you're always working with the kids during the day. And there's always the component of college visits. Once they enter 11th grade, we provide testing. So, and this was long before the state provided free SAT testing. We had provided ACT testing.
Hmm.
So it does depend on, you know, we're using the basic principles are the same, but it's just age related and what is expected from what level you're at, eighth grade, ninth grade. Everything changes as far as what they're exposed to as far as financial literacy.
Now, at what point are they able to take college courses while still in high school?
Most of them 11th and 12th. However, we do have 10th graders that take some dual credit classes as well, especially if they're already doing well. They already have a 3.5, 4.0 GPA, and the parents and counselors think that they're a good fit for this. They have great time management skills. They're showing a lot of initiative.
Well, If you don't mind, I'd like to, it's 8:20 in the morning, I'd like to take a little break, and I did find that song that you mentioned earlier, Diane. It's a Paul Simon tune, and we actually have a couple versions of it, including one from 1982, Simon and Garfunkel's Concert in Central Park. They uh-huh. performed this tune, which seemed appropriate for the subject matter. It's Me and Julio, Down by the Schoolyard, from the concert in Central Park in 1982. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Don Schatz, our guest from Clark Fork High School, the librarian and a grant facilitator. We'll be back with more after this. The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. Listen to that crowd roar. That's Simon and Garfunkel. And the song was Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard, on account of we are talking to a high school librarian just as we are getting into the school year. Actually, when is the first day of school in Clark Fork?
As it Tuesday.
Started? Tuesday. All right. Right after Labor Day. Are you are you all prepared? Are you?
I am not.
You're not.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. You have a big weekend ahead?
A big weekend preparing.
Yeah. Dawn Schatz is our guest. She is the Clark Fork High School librarian, as well as the grant facilitator for Gear Up and P-Tech. We were just talking about Gear Up, and now what? Let's talk about P-Tech a little bit. What is that?
P-Tech is another grant, but that was through the Albertson Foundation. So that's where that funding, that's private funding.
Mm-hmm. This is a private, okay.
Mm-hmm. And what I do there is... It's very similar. The goal is the same for students to go on to post-secondary education, but it's a very different model. They provide tuition. They provide the laptop. They provide the books for all dual credit classes in three particular pathways, which are high growth areas in North Idaho. So they are the connection between career from in college and career. So our students are encouraged to take advantage of these three pathways, and they are aerospace, healthcare, and information technology.
That sounds
about
right.
Huge in our area.
Yeah.
Huge in North Idaho.
Yeah. That seems like what those are the growth areas out here. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. How did you, or I guess, what is the Albertson Foundation, and why is that focus? Why are they focusing on those particular areas?
They are focused on this because their dream is for students to go on to college too, to take advantage of any kind of opportunity, to be prepared for this in high school when you can, and then be successful in college, and then they provide you with the link to the actual job at the end.
Mm-hmm. So that, so you've got, I mean, maybe not you, but they have returning now college graduates.
Well, P-Tech just started last year. We were a beta school. Mm-hmm. So this will be our second year.
Okay.
We did have, I think there were three students that graduated. One was from Clark Fork, and she's in the aerospace program, and she's over at NIC right now.
Mm-hmm.
So she started late. She was already a senior, so she took classes that were all paid for by P-Tech her senior year, and they're all online, and she uses the P-Tech laptop for that. And then she went to summer school this summer, and now she's enrolled at NIC to finish her first composite certificate.
And then
all paid for
P-Tech. And so after that, you said it's kind of the bridge into a career. Will she continues to be...
Yep. They'll provide her with an internship and then a job.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity? And that was kind of the one piece I think that Gear Up was always missing, was the connection with the business or profession. So when you combine the two, I think it's kind of like the perfect ideal fit.
The connection with the quote unquote real world.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, this P-Tech is sort of the full bridge. What is that? Is that that sounds like an abbreviation.
It is P-Tech. an acronym just like Gear Up. And it's pathways to early high school college, meaning you're taking those dual credit classes while you're in high school.
Aha. Uh-huh. I see. So that's... What does Gear Up stand for?
No, I gotta know. That's even crazier.
Yeah.
Gain early awareness and readiness for undergraduate programs.
Wow.
I know.
Goodness gracious. I know. Sometimes they seem to stretch a little bit to get the acronym to make sense. Well, the P-Tech program and Gear Up program, they're not... Technically, I mean, they're not related to each other.
But
exactly,
they complement each other. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
So you can work in both of them?
I do.
I mean, what about the students?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. I didn't realize mm-hmm. that.
Yes.
I thought they were so totally different.
So I am in both. No, I have students that are in both. Mm-hmm. Now, only because Gear Up is a cohort and it moves with them. So mm-hmm. last year, no, I didn't because they were too young. But yeah. this year, yes. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
you also mentioned three pathways for the school.
Oh, that's, yes, the high school has mm-hmm. changed mm-hmm. Because of budget cuts that we experienced. But we're very excited about this new direction because it gets students outside and out of the classroom, practicing a lot of those soft skills and that critical thinking and
hands-on
and creativity and all the things that we love about learning and about education. So we have three new tracks. One is an outdoor education track. One is fine arts and performance arts. And the other is a kind of a robotics and engineering track. And we
wow, something for everyone.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
This is like a high school major, sort of? Or I mean...
Well, you're still taking your core classes.
Yeah.
All of those occur. But mm-hmm. we have special out of the classroom days.
Interesting.
And believe it or not, we have like 21, I think, this semester.
21 out of the classroom days?
That is correct.
Wow.
Great. Can you believe that? They're going to get their fair share of field trips.
Yes, they are.
What a perfect place for out of class for outside experiences mm-hmm. in Clark Fork, mm-hmm. with the Delta and the river and the mountains.
And yes, and we're mm-hmm. coming up to Schweitzer. We have a partnership with Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust and Seoul. I'm sure you know Seoul. Yeah. So we're doing a lot of outdoor education at Schweitzer.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Starting this month.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think engineering and robotics will be up there as well for some of the activities of filming and performance art and fine art will include here in Sandpoint, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene.
I'd like to mention that one of Dawn's other hats is robotics.
Oh, yes. Multi.
She's a robotics instructor.
I love robotics. Mine are simple, though. They're the Lego robotics Mindstorm mm-hmm. that I actually do over at the Clark Fork Public Library as a volunteer.
Okay.
It's after school club.
Can you build me a robotic vacuum cleaner?
I'm going to do that. That's why I'm interested. Yes. I want one to pick up all that dog hair on my wood floor.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I would like one too. They're very expensive. So if you get a good one, I mean, if you build one that works for you, I would like copy number two.
You build it
two,
and they
please.
Will come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The robotics track, or I mean, these three tracks that you're talking about, are they're voluntary or everybody picks one? Or
The students came in during registration and mm-hmm. they put their top three choices. And then we tried to give them their first choice. So maybe they didn't get the first choice first mm-hmm. semester, but most likely they got it second semester.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be mm-hmm. Flopped.
I see. Semester.
So yes, they all chose. And I think it was pretty evenly distributed.
Hmm. Nice. That's kind of cool.
And it's going to be very exciting.
I think that generally people don't realize the opportunities that are available at the junior or senior high school mm-hmm. in Clark Fork.
I agree. Best kept secret. It really is. Small classes, a very strong connection with the teachers and the students, the individual planning. When a teacher writes that letter of recommendation, they know that student. They know that student very, mm-hmm. very well.
Hmm. I was talking to someone in the community yesterday, talking about, minor vandalism, not terrible vandalism, in and around Sandpoint. And yes, we have a little bit, but one of the conclusions we reached was that because the student body is small, mm-hmm. that you have to answer to your peers. And if you're a jerk, your peers don't like a jerk either.
Yeah.
And that works better in a smaller community, in a smaller school community, than it does when you've got 1,000 kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You have to answer to each other. And I think that keeps you, I want to say a little more honest. That's not quite the word I want. But
yeah. More.
Oh, yeah.
More
aware.
Get you. Mm-hmm. What is the enrollment over at Clark Fork High School?
I think we're up to 94. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get above 100.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be 94 for 7th through 12th.
What happens when you get above 100?
Oh, we're going to do a happy dance, a celebration. You know, funding is always based on enrollment, sadly.
Right. That's...
So maybe we could get in another staff member or another teacher. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, you're saying you're hoping to get above 100, but how does that... I mean, you just have to have... Don't just more kids have to... Mm-hmm. Be born to get
move into the area. Uh-huh. Yeah, if they move into the area, or sometimes uh-huh. homeschool students decide to come to the school that hadn't before, especially mm-hmm. when they're in high school and they can take more rigorous classes or dual credit classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's advantageous for them. They don't yeah. necessarily have to enroll in the whole program. They could just take a couple classes.
Oh, interesting.
Instead,
do you have a lot of?
I would like to mention that there are no school boundaries in Bonner County. Mm. You can come to Clark Fork from Sandpoint.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And maybe buses. We could talk about that. Now mm. there is some bus service, though the hours are a little bit.
Well, the LPO bus is early, I admit. Mm-hmm. The one that leaves from LPO, I think that's around 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that leaves at the North Side Connection is at 7. That's a easier hour to take, I think.
Huh. So if your student gets to Northside, they will mm-hmm. have a bus at 7 o'clock to mm-hmm. Clark Fork
yes.
and then it and bring them back in the afternoon.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So there is bus service. They tried to make it better so that you can come from Sandpoint, but it's a little early.
Mm-hmm. Do you, what Clark Fork is about the furthest east on 200, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the area that you mostly draw from? I mean, is it? Do you know how far away students will come from to get to Clark Fork?
I know we have one student from Laclede.
Dover. We have Dover. Dover.
Oh, wow.
Dover was
all the way over here. Okay.
We had a Sagal student. So I think that is the farthest was mm-hmm. Dover.
Yeah. Coming from this direction.
Mm-hmm. And then in the past, we had very near the Montana border,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Hope. Trestle Creek,
Kootenai,
Northside area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would happen if someone from Montana wanted to come? Is that doable?
Not anymore. it used to be, and oftentimes the student still had a grandparent or relative or something that was living in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't quite work that way anymore.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. It's reciprocal. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. But... when you had mentioned those new pathways, at first I thought you were talking about like new sidewalks or something, but you weren't. But they are they're not quite complete. Is that correct? Or do you still need help filling in with volunteers or anything like that?
We certainly would like people to come out if they have a special field that they are gifted in. You know, there's a lot of young retirees out there, for example, that have a lot mm-hmm. of time and want to volunteer, and they want to provide some help in maybe robotics, or maybe they have a special skill in welding or in jewelry making, or perhaps I think we have outdoor education covered. But in some of the other areas, woodworking, you know, if we could get some help from them, and it wouldn't have to be every day or anything like that. Just we could work it in so that the kids would be exposed to these particular skills during that pathway.
Does the school still have woodworking equipment?
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
Wow.
We have a shop, and I think nice. It's going to have a multi-use with both robotics, excuse me, and probably some of the fine arts as well.
Good.
Suppose someone is listening with a little time on their hands and some expertise that they'd like to volunteer. How should they get a hold of?
They should contact the school and mm-hmm. talk to our fearless leader, our visionary, Mr. Kimmick, at 255-7177, or they can call me and ask for Dawn. I also would love to have people come out for career day. I'll be having a career day this year. We usually draw from about 40 professional and business people from Bonner County. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience for the students to be exposed, because we can't talk to every single person or can't take field trips that often, but we can get them at our school.
Let's get Jack out to talk about radio. Jack.
Yes.
Sure. We'll talk about that off the air a little bit. What's your, as we move to wrap up a little bit, it is getting later in the hour. What's your favorite book, Don? I'm putting you on the spot. You are a librarian. Gosh.
I read about 10 books this summer, believe it or not.
Okay. Of those 10, then, what's your...
Of the 10?
Mm-hmm.
I actually really, really enjoyed The Organized Mind.
The Organized Mind. That sounds like nonfiction.
It is nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I'm very much into nonfiction right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also loved the book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Oh.
Have you read that one? That's
no.
a great one. And you should if you use Twitter or Facebook. You might want to read that book.
Okay. So You've Been Publicly Shamed. These sound like newish books or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Available at the library?
East Bonner County Library. That's where I get all my material.
Yeah. Any favorite fictional books?
Not of late. I have a hard time finding great fiction.
I understand.
Mm-hmm. Classics, yes. I'm reading some David Foster Wallace right now.
Oh, which one? Which...
You don't even want to know. It's the book of 800 pages.
The big one?
Infinite Jest.
I have not read that. It's supposed to be like the greatest book of the...
It's the most confusing, yes.
Yeah.
And you're drawn to it. You are compelled.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to take you 6 months to read it. But yeah.
I am daunted by that.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Me too.
Every time I
pick it up.
I have never undertaken that particular project. But I did like... What was it? I read this summer. I just read The cruise ship, a supposedly fun thing I'll never do again. Always, always enjoyable. We have been talking with Don Schatz, and do we have any final thoughts? Schatz thoughts?
Consider sending your child to Clark Fork.
Clark Fork High School. Yes, it's a wonderful school.
Mm-hmm.
Small setting. No kid gets left behind. No one falls through the tracks, and it's really fun, and this is going to be an exciting year. Every single teacher is just thrilled.
As you mentioned, anybody in Bonner County can technically go to.
Yes.
I mean, that's a rule I was not familiar with, but that's
cool.
Open
enrollment.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Phone number?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
Give it one more time.
255-7177.
The Don Schatz has been our guest, the Clark Fork High School librarian and grant facilitator for PTEC and Gear Up. And it's time for a little musical quiz. On this date in 1966, guess what song was at the top of the Billboard Hot 100? Anyone?
1966.
Your hint is it's about, it includes the name of a superhero in the title.
Superman.
That's the one. It's Sunshine Superman by Donovan is the name of the song.
Oh, Don got it.
Aha.
Huh?
Yes. And you are listening to 88.5 KRFY, back with the events calendar after a little musical break. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. That's Donovan, the number one hit on this date in 1966, 49 years ago. We have some we have some current events on our docket here. I'm going to start off with the one that I have listed for tonight is the Panada Sneak Peek. You can come check out the new ceiling and sparkling clean Panada Theater, which is, of course, at the Panada Theater on 300 North 1st Avenue between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. It's been closed for 2 months, and now it is back open. The hard work is over or almost over, and you can come see the new ceiling and all the cleaning that they did. I'm interested to see if I noticed the change. I kind of want to go to that.
I may hang around town tonight and do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, check out the Panada. I do wonder if it's a noticeable thing or.
Oh, I'll bet it is.
Oh, yeah. If you, depending on how often you looked at the ceiling in the Panada. We also have a, we have an open mic night tonight over at Monarch Mountain. Host Scott Reed from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Monarch Mountain Coffee. This is, it's the first and third Thursday of every month, and this must be the first. So Monarch Mountain Coffee's open mic night is tonight. There is music at the Poor Authority featuring Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. And at the Pondere Winery, there is music just down the street from there. I'm sorry, this is tomorrow. I jumped ahead, but tomorrow from 5:30 to 8:30 with Justin Landtrip. So both of those are tomorrow, I should say. At the Idaho Poor Authority, 5 to 7 with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. And then at the Pondere Winery, from 5:30 to 8:30 with Justin Landtrip. Might as well check both of those out. Just kind of bounce between the winery and the beerery, depending on your your taste. One ongoing event from last week is No Service, the original play at the Heartwood Center. Have either of you seen that? Dawn Schatz still in the studio, by the way.
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen it either. I wanted to go last weekend. Hopefully I can get out of the house and get to it this weekend. It was just hard to motivate with the once that rain started coming down. I wanted to stay in and read a book. But at the Heartwood Center, the Unknown Locals have produced an original play by Chris Herron. It's called No Service. It stars I know Kate McAllister is in it, and it's a good list of local cast. The play is a darkly humorous story about life, death, and the complications of family. Kim travels to Anne's remote cabin to see her one last time. Upon learning that Anne has become estranged from her daughter, Kim does her best to put her nose where it doesn't belong and reunite mother and daughter before it's too late. Ticket information is available at 610-8005, but that's at the Heartwood Center. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the curtain is at 7:30, both tomorrow and the night after that, Friday and Saturday night. I believe it's got some pretty good reviews from the local press. So I would like to see that play. And I do like to see anything that the Unknown Locals put on, but we'll see about that. Also coming up on Saturday is the Farmer's Market. Shop for locally grown produce, baked goods, and handcrafted arts and crafts. I think that goes till the beginning of October, right? Mm-hmm. So we still got the Farmer's Market going on. It continues, but is sort of winding down. There's only a few more Saturdays left. It is also free first Saturday at the Bonner County Historical Museum. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you are welcome to go to the museum free of charge, made possible by the generous support of the Sandpoint Rotary this month. BonnerCountyHistory.org is the address. Anything going on at the museum?
Well, Diane? It will be one of your last opportunities to see the fashion exhibit from the late 1800s, up to 1910, because that exhibit will be changed out, and I think the opening of the other one is mid-September.
Oh.
So if you haven't seen that, you really should. They're all clothing that was worn in and around Sandpoint in those days.
It's a cool...
And there, it's amazing.
The Summer Sound Series is... is on the corner right across from our radio station, right in front of Arlo's, from 4 to 6 p.m. on the Park Place stage. It's Triolette, sponsored by the Sandpoint Business Improvement District and the Holly Eve Foundation. On Saturday, music at the Poor Authority with David Walsh, David Lane Walsh. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority on Saturday. And we've also got, looks like Neighbor John is back in town, and Robert Crater, part of the John Kelly Trio. They're playing out at the Ice House Pizzeria out in Hope, in your direction.
Uh-huh.
That would be worth going to on Saturday night from 5 to 8:30 at the Old Ice House Pizzeria. You can go to oldicehousepizzeria.com for more information about that. And finally, on my sheet of paper, there is more music still at the winery on Saturday night from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. with the Powell Brothers. The Powell Brothers are great. They play unusual instruments on various stringed instruments, most of which they build themselves, possibly all of them.
Do they build the harp guitars?
They do build the harp guitars. Ah. And they're excellent musicians as well. They put on a good show. I've had them. They've been up in the studio before. They're very good and entertaining. So there's some serious choices to be made on Saturday. What you're going to do? What's on your sheet of paper?
And
there,
then
Diane?
On the 5th and 6th, which is Friday or Saturday and Sunday, Funky Junk Antique and Craft Show. It's back for the 15th year. The biggest and longest running antique and craft show in Idaho. The Funky Junk event will be in full swing over Labor Day weekend from 10 to 4 p.m. at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Funky Junk will be bursting with all sorts of wonderful treasures and amazing crafts. Everything from salvage to retro and everything in between. There will be live music both days and food too. I know Dawn's planning on going to
Yes, I'm hoping to collect a rocking chair.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Funky Junk. I guess I've heard of it before. 15 years, though.
I hadn't heard of it. I can't believe I'm...
For a junk fair at
Well,
the,
yes, I can believe I'm that
The Bonner uninformed. County Fair. Is the... Have you been
the
before?
And then the North Ida... The other thing is the 5th or the... Yeah, the 5th through Monday the 7th.
Uh-huh.
A North Idaho original. 23rd Annual Fall Fest happening Saturday through Monday up at Schweitzer. Mm-hmm. Bands will be playing over the Labor Day holiday weekend, while Schweitzer serves up several regional wines, hard ciders, and over 60 regional microbrews on tap. The ever-popular souvenir mugs, glasses, and steins will be on sale all weekend, as well as several other Fall Fest souvenirs. For the kids, there's a soda tent where they can mix their own flavors and create wild concoctions. Oh, I'll bet they'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy arts, crafts, and food vendors throughout the village. Plus, the chairlift will be open for sightseeing, hiking, and mountain biking. For more details, visit Schweitzer.com.
That's a nice excuse to get up to Schweitzer.
Oh, yeah. What a great combination. Mm-hmm. Hiking, music, and...
Views.
Views, and wine tasting for those who aren't...
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy 60, beer.
60 microbrews.
Have you?
I don't like beer, so.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to try all 60.
It'd be, oh my gosh!
Something else. No. Have you been up there before, Don?
No, but I did go to their fabulous wine tasting one, and I actually prefer Schweitzer during the summer. I go to all the events.
It is kind of nice.
I love it. And, I love to hike up there.
Uh huh. And so. You don't have to wear your. Your snow boots or
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
I don't freeze on the chairlift.
Uh-huh. And just go up and enjoy the view. And yeah, that's pretty cool. I would like to go to that. I think I'm gonna try to get up to Fall Fest. It's nice to do something on Labor Day weekend.
And the music is great. It's absolutely fabulous.
I know you said Owen and McCoy.
Owen
playing.
And McCoy, yes, our local talent.
Uh-huh.
They're great.
They are great. And I went I've been once before. I don't remember what year it was, but I went once before and was very impressed by the music that they were able to haul in. I imagine part of that is just the venue. It's cool,
yes.
You know, if you were a musician.
Who
wouldn't
want to play
Schweitzer?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very neat. Yeah. So that's Fall Fest this weekend. Anything else on the current events schedule? Get your cheaters out.
The Classic Car Show.
Oh.
5th and 6th, nostalgic cars from across the Northwest converge at Silverwood Theme Park. So I have to go a little farther for that. For the 13th annual Coaster Classic Car Sale.
Uh-huh.
Car Show. Say that three times fast. But,
yeah.
Coaster Classic Car Show.
Well, there you go.
It's one of the biggest events of its kind in the Northwest. And you can go to silverwoodthemepark.com for more information.
And there you have it.
And there you have it.
Diane, did you mention what the next exhibit's going to be at the
next exhibit will be moving up in fashions up into the 1920s, I believe, possibly to the 30s. I don't know too much about it. They haven't started pulling the things yet.
I see.
At least not on the day that I'm there.
Yeah. So this is one of the last, at least weekend days to catch
exhibit that's up right now is incredible, and I can't encourage you enough to go and see it.
Mm-hmm. That was who put that one together again?
It was Heather Upton and Olivia.
And Olivia Moreland of the executive director.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And the fashions continue later. When is the next big opening, do you know? They're going to start pulling it together.
I want to say September 18th, but I'm not certain about that. Don't quote me. It will be, the opening will be the day that Smithsonian Library or Museum Day, and it'll be a free day. So is the 18th a Saturday?
Let me turn right behind you and say that the 19th is a Saturday.
Okay, it's probably the 19th. I feel like it's the 18th, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well,
but we'll have lots of information out.
Very cool. You have been listening to the KRFY Morning Show. Thanks for sticking around, Dawn.
Oh, thank you.
Dawn Schatz was our guest from Clark Fork High School. She is the librarian and a grant facilitator for PTEC and Gear Up. And you are listening to 88.5 KRFY, broadcasting out of Pondere, Idaho, with studios right here in Sandpoint. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio.